Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. Hey, let's try that again. We're back for an all-new season. We'll catch up on all the news we missed in February with this month's So What Did I Miss? Universal Studios Hollywood dabbles in the dark arts. Two Southern California theme parks debut their bigger, longer food festivals. And the 600-pound Wookiee in the room. Disney announces its opening date for Galaxy's Edge and the Internet loses its mind. Plus, a little bit later on, we'll be introducing our new dining plan segment, and Brandis is here to talk about their experience with the actual dining plan at Knott's Berry Farm. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 30 for the week of March 11th, 2019. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Caris, for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Caris, CARISS-Milano, MILANO. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. And this week, I am joined by our associate producer and birthday girl, producer Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strotman.
Hello there.
And our food reporter and our vlog series star, Karen Fan. Welcome, Karen.
Hello.
Hello. So we're recording this on the morning of the spring time change. So welcome to spring, everybody. Well, not welcome to spring, but welcome to spring forward. And I had my own issues getting up this morning and making it here on time to make sure that the podcast was recorded. So I want to welcome everybody back. Today is our second show of the year and our first show in March. So that leaves the question, what the hell happened to February?
It was my birthday month. We're going to be real. We had to celebrate it.
We spent most of February celebrating Karen's birthday month. And Brandy, your birthday was in February.
No, March 2nd.
March 2nd. Okay. So we missed that one, but we were celebrating Karen's birthday. And, after our first show, I'll be honest with you, life happened and we all needed a little bit of a break. I know we got a late start to January as well. So looking at the calendar, January is kind of a short month. There wasn't a whole lot going on in the parks in February. And so what I did was I just told everybody, let's regroup. Let's come back the first or second weekend. And this puts us back on our regular recording schedule. So I wanted to make sure that we all got the time off that we needed. We all needed time off for different reasons. Life was busy. Work was busy. So I want to thank all of you out there listening for sticking with us. I want to thank you all for visiting our other content. We did upload some other great content, and I'm uploading even more now. You may have seen our San Diego SeaWorld reporter, Diane Hobday, uploaded a video to our YouTube channel about her experiences at the Lion Habitat Rescue out in Las Vegas. Myself, I went to Knott's Berry Farm. Sorry, I went to Disneyland, and we did the 90s Night Disneyland After Dark, which if you follow us on our Instagram feed, you got to see a little bit of. And so that was super fun.
Brandis, where's your fanny pack?
Where's my fanny pack? Yeah.
I didn't see the fanny pack in any of the pictures. Oh, no. I was really disappointed.
It's on the Instagram, Karen.
It's very 90s. It's the colors.
Yeah.
I mean,
can I have it?
That, no,
do this. But it's her birthday.
You're the second person to ask me if you can have the.
But it's her birthday.
She will actually wear it, like, legit.
You guys have two. She should get one.
I know. I have one, and my wife has the other one. one of my students asked me if I could have it. I'm like, one to a customer. No, you can't. So no, it's mine.
I tried.
I paid $95 for that fanny pack.
Wow.
It might be $95 for the party, but though, if you watch our vlog, if you watch our YouTube channel, which I'll give the address for our YouTube channel later on at the end of the show, you'll see that that party was totally worth it. I mean, I know it sounds expensive, but that was, really really fun. What have you guys?
Was Darkwing Duck there?
Darkwing
Duck.
They
were just
there.
Excited to see Darkwing Duck and the Rescue Rangers. I'm going to be real here.
Nope. So they had all of the Disney afternoon starts. So we got our picture with Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. We got our picture with the Baloo and Louie from Tailspin. Let me tell you about the Darkwing Duck photo op. The Darkwing Duck photo op was an hour and a half long.
I bet.
When we got in line. And they told us it was an hour and a half. After 45 minutes, we had maybe gone 15 feet. And it was starting to rain. So we're like, no. So we peaced out after 45 minutes because something was going on. They had characters from Tailspin coming out. And it was, I don't know. Something was
going on. I had many friends who were in that line.
Oh,
did
you?
All got their Darkwing Duck photos with their fanny packs on.
Nice.
Same.
Do you know, I have, when I work in the classroom, so on rainy days, and they put on movies, there's this one teacher that for some reason doesn't have Netflix or projector or anything. She actually wills in the old TV with the VCR.
That's awesome.
Just, she's her own 90s
plays,
party.
DuckTales.
Oh, darn it. I was like, after school specials. Yeah. I was really hoping for after school specials.
That's what I'm like, why is there no Magic School Bus? But it's DuckTales. And the kids absolutely love it.
Is it the old DuckTales?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Got like a 1992 VHS.
Wow.
I would like to be in her class, please.
Yeah. Good thing she didn't throw away those VHS.
Yeah.
She's like
the rest of us.
It's my only chance to use it.
John's just mad because when when our VCR broke, we got a DVD player instead. We had another DVD player, but we still had in like one room a VCR. So you go to Target and there's no VCRs there. So we got a DVD player. So we had like hundreds of VHSs and swept them all away.
I had hundreds of VHSs that she threw away.
But what's yours
is
hers. So, you know.
Whatever. Some of those are worth a lot of money on eBay.
They are not. That is fake.
I know for a fact I have at least 24 or more VHS videos in my garage, in my storage unit. Who the hell knows if they still work or not, but I've had them because I refuse to throw them away because much like cassette players, I'm convinced that VHS is going to come back.
I have no VHS tapes and I don't have a lot of DVDs left. So if y'all want any Disney DVDs, please come find me after the show. I'd be happy to donate them to you.
Well, one of the stories that we're not going to talk about, but we'll mention really quickly, is the new Disney Plus streaming service. You guys know about that, right?
Yeah.
So they're putting the entire Disney movie library on the Disney Plus streaming service, including Song of the South, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with Song of the South.
Yes.
But yeah, that's the one that they've kept hidden away. And so they're kind of dangling this one in front of everybody.
Yeah.
This is how they're going to get you to sign up because you're like, I have all the DVDs. Oh, but Song of the South?
Yeah.
Now I want
it. They have all the Star Wars stuff.
They're going to have all the Star Wars stuff. They're going to have all the Marvel stuff, starting with Captain Marvel is going to be the first one on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
All the Star Wars stuff, all of the Disney movie library. What I'm hoping, going back to our earlier conversation, is I'm hoping that they put all of the Disney afternoon stuff on there because they've never released all of the episodes on
VHS or DVD. Now I'm thinking, like, before I was thinking that's dumb, who's going to pay for that? But now hearing it's got all the, Song of the South, like, I understand why they kept it hidden, but I loved the songs from that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and who hasn't ridden Splash Mountain and gone, what the hell is this?
Who will be signing up for this service.
Yeah, no.
All of you suckers.
and the fact that
I'll be trying not to whisper or whistle Zippity Doodah in public.
Right. I was just thinking the other day, I was like, I really want to watch Snow White. I don't know where the hell my Snow White DVDs are.
I have it.
I was just
going to
say, I think we might have it.
Yeah.
I have all the princesses.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Oh, you know what would cause me to join this service is if they had the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, I forgot about that.
If they have that,
you can get that on Netflix, right?
Is there really?
Yeah.
I mean, I have all of them, but, you know, it's nice to stream them at work sometimes.
Yeah, you can.
That's like I own all the Harry Potters, of course, but I still, if it's Harry Potter weekend, I have to watch it.
Yeah, I do enjoy the Harry Potter
because
weekend.
It's nice. They give you a little commercial break, so you know, get more popcorn, go to the bathroom.
So, so during Harry Potter weekend, how far do John's eyes roll back into his head?
It hurts so bad.
See it from space.
One day they're going to get stuck there.
All right. So, that's kind of where we're at. That's kind of where we've been. This puts us back on our regular podcast schedule. And so I'm really excited to get back in. When Brandy and John and I went back to Disneyland, we kind of talked about getting back into this because, even though it's working, even though we all meet early in the morning to do this, I think we still have fun with it.
So early.
Except for Karen. He's not a fan of the mornings.
But you should have, you know what I did is I had 2 margaritas with dinner, so I fell asleep early.
I was tired. I had a work event yesterday that involved kids. As a non-parent, kids are tiring.
They're exhausting.
As a parent, kids are tiring.
Yeah. So kind of ponybacking on that, John, we're going to introduce a new segment and we're going to call this What I Miss. And this is going to just kind of cover all of the things sometimes that don't fall in that aren't big enough for a news story. Now, these were all big enough to be their own individual news story, but because they happened in the month of February, we didn't really get to them. So, in the future, What I Miss is going to be kind of, our lightning round of things that maybe, so stuff like the Disney Plus story, you know, some of the smaller stories, we're going to put them together at the end of the month and kind of collect, or, you know, the beginning of the month for the previous month and talk about these things. So, we're also going to try something a little different today. I'm going to have John, read most of the news stories because, his voice
don't
is
say
just
it.
Very
don't
soothing.
Say it.
Just
don't say it.
Golden voice over there. The man with the golden voice. So,
pressure now.
So we're going to throw it over to John. John, what did we miss in February?
So what I miss? In the month of February, we missed out on a notable news stories. Here are the things we missed in February this month. Dave Smith dies, unfortunately. Walt Disney Archives founder Dave Smith passed away in Burbank, California on February 15th, 2019. He was 78. Dave dedicated his 4-decade career at the Walt Disney Company to preserving Disney's precious treasures from film, television, theme parks, and beyond. Named a Disney legend in 2007, Dave was beloved by fans around the world for his wide knowledge of the company's rich history, which he shared in books and through his popular magazine column, Ask Dave. I'm deeply saddened to learn of Dave Smith's passing, said Bob Iger, chairman and chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company. He was an unsung hero of Disney's history who investing endless hours restoring and preserving these priceless pieces of our legacy and putting them in context to tell our story. Dave was a true Disney legend, and we are indebted to him for building such an enduring, tangible connection to our past that continues to inspire our future. Smith was hired in 1970 by Walt's brother and the Walt Disney Company co-founder, Roy Disney, and his first responsibility was cataloging every item inside Walt's office suite, which had been left untouched after Walt's passing 4 years prior. Now we also have Ron Miller dies.
Let's talk about Dave Smith for a second.
Yeah.
So, for those of you that don't know, Dave Smith was the archivist at the Walt Disney Company for many, many, many years. And, the original reason that he was hired is because Walt Disney died in 1966. After Walt Disney died, the day afterwards, they literally went in and walled off his office suite, which is on the fourth floor of the animation building at the Walt Disney Studios. At some point they decided we need to open this office and we need to do something with this space. So they called in Dave Smith. Now he was hired in 1970, but the amount of red tape that it took to get him actually into the office suite, even though he was hired by Roy Disney, was 2 years.
It took
2 years for him to even set foot into Walt's office. And all the stories are out there and you can check them out online. But basically what happened is he took photographs of everything in Walt's office, down to the number of paper clips in the drawer and their position. I mean, he cataloged every single last item in Walt Disney's office. And this took him many, many years. And so for a long time at Disneyland, they had the Walt Disney story and they had Walt's 2 offices set up in a display inside the Walt Disney story. In fact, if you go to the Walt Disney story now, there's still these big glass partitions. You're like, what are those? That's where Walt's office used to be inside the Opera House on Main Street. So he was.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
I used to work there.
Karen used to work at the Walt Disney Store.
Also, fun fact. Yes. I check Netflix and they do not have The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones. You totally lied to me.
I totally did. Right? Corrections and retractions. But we'll find it. I know it's somewhere. So he was famous for doing that. Then he went into the Walt Disney Studios and discovered that they were throwing away thousands of items, like things that they didn't consider to be important, things like receipts and contracts and things that had Walt's signature on them. And so he spent, I mean, animation stuff. They were like, we didn't have any space for it. So they would just chuck it all in the trash. And they were famous for doing that. Like some of the early stuff in their history would just go into the garbage.
It's crazy.
And so he wasn't, you know, he was a trained archivist and he started the archives and now they collect everything. Now nothing goes in the trash without his approval. So, you know, there's stories of things that are from the Walt Disney Studios that have gone missing. And I'm convinced that they're somewhere because they were just throwing things away. Like, you know, either it's gone forever or it's in a box somewhere in a, you know, warehouse. So, all right. That was Dave Smith. What do we have next? What else do we miss, John?
Well, Ron Miller dies. Ron W. Miller, Walt Disney's son-in-law and the husband of Diane Disney, passed away February 9th, 2019. In Napa, California. He was 85. Miller was 21 and a member of the USC Trojans football team when he was introduced to the 20-year-old Diane Disney on a blind date. They were married in Santa Barbara on May 9, 1954. Miller's first job was serving as second assistant on Old Yeller from 1957. Eventually, as CEO, Miller pushed the company to expand and explore, creating Walt Disney Home Video, Touchstone Pictures, and the Disney Channel. Wow, that's pretty impressive. He served as president and later chief executive of Disney from 1978 until 1984, when he was pushed out in a power struggle that left Frank Wells and Michael Eisner in charge of the company. The company credited him as being a driving force behind such initiatives as Epcot Center, Touchstone Pictures, and the Disney Channel. Miller helped navigate a difficult period of change, laying the foundation for a broader revenue base to support Walt Disney's vision for decades to come, the statement said.
Okay, so first of all, who set up that blind date?
Yeah, we don't know. Like it's in the story. So I mean,
it's Walt Disney's daughter.
Yeah,
and this guy is big in the company. So
he wasn't big in the company when he hired him.
So is it somebody who said like this guy would be good for Disney? Let's hook him up with Disney's daughter.
Yeah,
or was it he married Disney's daughter and she's like, Daddy?
Yeah. I think that's what you're saying is actually more accurate.
Because, I mean, he did great things.
Yeah. Cause he was, I mean, if you look at a lot of the older stuff on Disney specials and Wonderful World of Disney, like you'll see Ron Miller's name up there. It's Ron Miller, but he was, you know, out of college and he went to dating Diane Miller. And then I think once he married into the family, they kind of gave him
found a spot for
kinda,
him.
Yeah.
Spot
I'd like to think though that it wasn't just Daddy. He needs a job. It was more like, oh, but he's also talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He did such great things. And I mean, yeah. So and who set that up? Who thought that?
Maybe it was just serendipity.
Yeah. Could be. Ron Miller is also famous he's famous for a couple of things. He's famous for quite possibly the worst period of the darkest animation period in Disney history. So they had a lot of flops in the 70s and 80s. And I think Ron Miller was a genuinely nice guy from all accounts. And I think he was a really talented producer. I think he was just in over his head as CEO. Ron Miller is mostly famous for, being the target of a hostile takeover by a man named Sid Steinberg, who was a famous corporate raider in the 80s and was actually buying up Disney shares in hopes of taking the company over and selling it off. And that's what gave us, Ron Miller being ousted by Roy O. Disney, his nephew, and having Michael Eisner and Frank Wells in place, which led to both a real renaissance, the real Disney renaissance that we know in the late 80s and 90s with the Disney Channel and all the theme park expansion, but then also kind of a decline at the end of Michael Eisner's tenure. But, you know, Ron Miller was also famous for pushing together Epcot. You know, he pushed that project and got Walt's final dream of Epcot more or less, you know, accomplished. And I'm wearing the Epcot shirt today and it's one of my favorite things. So there are lots of things for Disney fans to be grateful to Ron Miller for. And I think he gets a bum rap because he's mostly famous for getting the heave-ho, you know, and having Eisner installed. But all right, John, a couple more things on there.
Okay. So Bayside Skyride comes to a cold, windy halt, SeaWorld San Diego. A gust of significant wind caused a SeaWorld ride to shut down Monday night, trapping 16 people on the rides as temperatures plummeted. Rescue crews were called to the Bayside Skyride at the park just before 7:30 p.m. A total of 5 gondolas became struck, SeaWorld said in a statement. Park visitors were lowered by harnesses and taken by lifeguard boats to a dock area to be medically evaluated, the fire department said. The incident happened as temperatures in San Diego dipped below the 40s. During the rescue effort, temperatures had dropped into the low 50s. SeaWorld said in a statement that blankets were on board each gondola to help keep people warm.
Yeah, before anybody outside of Southern California laughs at us, that is extremely cold for us.
Yeah.
It has not been above 70 degrees since January like 15th or something
also,
like that.
Also, I really, yeah. like when I read the story the first time, I was just like, where do they get these blankets from? Does every okay. gondola just, were these like those this- earthquake emergency solar blankets or?
So though I have been on those gondolas and they're the same exact gondola system that used to be at Disneyland. I don't know if they dropped them by helicopter. I don't know what the hell they did because they were, those things do not come equipped with blankets.
That's why I was like I was like, oh, people were trapped. Okay. But more importantly, where did those blankets come from?
Well, I think yeah. once rescuers show up, according to movies, they automatically hand you a blanket and a cup of coffee.
But here's my thing, right? If the rescuers had already showed up, why couldn't they just start evacuating now?
I think first of all, it was over water.
Yes.
So they stopped over water. And so I think, first of all, they had to like evaluate the situation. And then everybody was airlifted out of there by, like everyone was rescued by, helicopter. They were harnessed up by helicopter.
It's not going to be good for SeaWorld's bottom line.
No.
On the bright hand side, I may now be willing to buy an annual pass if they dip in price.
Right. So they just went up in price.
Also, did you read about that family who were like half separated? So like a few of them didn't go on the gondola and a few of them did. And so they had to wait by the car until the rest of the family
was
evacuated.
They had to wait by the car because when people got trapped in the sky cabin at Knott's, which was a similar thing, they all had to be rescued by harness. The families that were on the ground when it happened were allowed to stay in the park.
Well, I guess this family had already headed to the car. Okay. And so they had already gone out and they were already to the car. But and then this happened. And yeah. then they were like, oh. And I guess they didn't know. But I just read and I was like,
I don't think that they knew what
yeah,
was going
on. Yeah, they didn't really know. They were just wondering why their family was missing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, they were like, they're like, where's Uncle Dave? And, he's 40 feet up in the air.
Did SeaWorld feed them when they got off? Because Knott's fed their people, the guests, when they got off of the sky cabin.
I'm sure they did. First of all,
perhaps they fed them when they gave them the coffee and the blankets.
Yeah. That's the police.
Oh, my bad. First of all, they had donuts first.
The food at SeaWorld is okay. It's getting better. It's getting better, but it's.
They're
it's,
like, please serve yourself a hot dog okay, over yeah. there.
You're not really selling me on going to some sort of thingy with you to eat food there.
We're
going to
talk about that later. When you hear what they have, it's. I'm like, okay, that'll be good. So the worst part about this whole thing is that there was somebody who was, I believe, a paraplegic up there, or at the very least was like in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
And so they had to get, so this person actually was, I think, one of the last people to get out. I'm sure SeaWorld took care of everybody once they got off. And, I'm sure they did, whatever it is that they had to do, feed them, give them refunds. Please don't, sue us kind of thing.
Like take whatever you want on your way out of the park.
Yeah.
Please.
Open
self-serve
up the
hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. We've talked about that. Everything at SeaWorld is self-serve.
Make a Shamu.
Yeah. I'm sure they opened up the gift shop and we're like, just go nuts.
T-shirts for everyone.
Yeah. T-shirts for everyone. So, all right. So we have one more on there. John, what's our last what I missed for February?
World of Color returns to the Disney Resort. A large crowd cheered Friday night, February 22nd, as the popular World of Color show returned to Disney California Adventure. In its first official soft opening after an accidental shutting it down for 10 months. The show, which hadn't been performed since April, features shimmering colored lights, music, and 4K digital images projected onto the massive fountains, with a full score and even a series of fireballs, and was halted because of an accident involving one of the massive floating tables that holds electric equipment for the show. Dining packages that include reserved viewing spots, mostly standing room only, are now available for reservation. They can be made online or by calling 714-781-SHOW. That's 7469.
Yeah. So World of Color is back. We did a couple stories on it in a blog post on why it was shut down. Basically, one of the massive tables that holds the electrical equipment sink and took all of the electrical equipment with it, and it cost many, many, many dollars, all of the monies to fix it. And so, it is back. People are happy. If you follow us again on Instagram, I was at the California Adventure Food and Wine Festival for a little bit last night just to kind of check out the lay of the land before we go and do our vlog. And so, you know, it was up, it was running. I didn't stay for it, you know, but people seemed to be really happy. People were really excited when it came back. They're doing the dining packages again. And so
for standing room only.
Yeah. For standing
room. That really sucks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
So, but again, they're, yeah, for, are the dining packages standing room only? Or the,
that's
the,
what
the
John just
pack?
Said.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Standing room only.
For mostly standing room
mostly.
Only.
Mostly. Yeah. So, they threw mostly in there. There might be one or two.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's worth it for.
No, isn't that like eating room. At all theme parks though?
Standing room only.
You like mostly standing room only.
Yeah,
I mean,
like find a place to sit if you're lucky.
I don't know, for that much money, you better give me a chair. Like I want a chair and I want to sit and I want to have my dessert. But you know,
I think somebody
you
want to
have your cake and eat it.
I want to have my cake and eat it too. Like the firework packages that I will never see fireworks at Walt Disney World at Magic Kingdom. I will never ever do fireworks there without the dessert package again, but you get to sit down, you get to eat your dessert, and then you go and stand and watch the fireworks. All right, John, well, thank you for catching us up on what we missed in February, and now it's time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
What's going on at Universal Studios Hollywood?
Okay, before I read this story, I just have to say, Layla, if you're listening, this is that dream I had. Okay.
Layla, if you're not listening, you really should be.
Yeah.
Dark Arts at Hogwarts Castle premiere event April 11th and 12th offers exclusive sneak peek at all new light projection experience at Universal Studios Hollywood.
John, I don't know if you know about this, but you're in trouble here. Just keep reading, Brandy.
Oh, it's okay, Brandy. I still have two more entries into Universal. I can totally go with you.
Okay. Universal Studios Hollywood has announced its Dark Arts at Hogwarts Castle premiere event, which offers guests an exclusive sneak peek at the all-new Wizarding World-inspired light projection experience at Universal Studios Hollywood on April 11th through 12th before it opens to the public. This exclusive evening event begins with a red carpet photo op and a specialty catered dinner. Shop new merchandise and keepsake memorabilia. Enjoy unlimited access to the rides, attractions, and shops, and then watch as Hogwarts Castle is cloaked with sinister curses and fearsome creatures in the dark arts at Hogwarts Castle, an all-new nighttime spectacular of light and music, before it opens to the public on Thursday, April 11th, and Friday, April 12th, 2019. This premier evening event invites guests to be among the very first to experience dark arts at Hogwarts Castle with exclusive after-hours access to Hogsmeade Village, where fans can also explore the shops and experience the land's signature rides, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, and Flight of the Hippogriff. The event's main attractions is an exclusive first look at an all-new dark arts at Hogwarts Castle projection display that brings to light an exciting new dimension of sorcery within the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. A mesmerizing pageantry of light, music, and special effects will unleash the darkest creatures and villains from the Wizarding World, including the powerful dark wizard Lord Voldemort, he who must not be named. Why did you not include that in the
story? I like why would you release a press release and actually mention his name? Come on, guys.
Yeah, you're not Dumbledore.
Because to not say his name gives it power. You guys, yes. We need to take away that power.
But the media does not use his name.
And well, are we considered media?
Show the Dark Lord the proper respect.
No, never.
Okay. Additionally, guests will be treated to a premium catered feast of foods. That was my dream, Layla. Beverages and desserts as part of this exclusive opportunity.
Wait till you get to the price.
A new wand will also debut in conjunction with the exclusive event, offering fans a chance to purchase these limited edition memorabilia and add to their wand collection. Tickets for the premier event. Collection?
Oh,
I mean, each wand is really expensive.
But I don't have a wand collection. I have gifted, homemade, handmade wand.
I have one too. It's made out of chopsticks.
Yeah.
Oh, we should compare ours.
Okay, so before we get to comparing sticks, lots of people collect the wands, like, because they're all different.
But they're so expensive.
People with disposable income.
Gosh. Can't you like do like tricks there with your wand?
You can.
Yeah.
If you
buy, but you only need one for that.
Only specific ones.
Maybe you get extra tricks.
It's like the mini ears. Every time you go back, you got to get a new one.
I don't think everybody does that. I think that's just you.
Oh no, John, go on Instagram and look up like mini ears. Oh yeah, no.
They have like limited edition ones and stuff.
I think
Caitlin stole my rose gold ones, and she doesn't listen to this, so she won't hear that. But I could not find my rose gold ones, and I don't remember lending them to anyone.
There are Pinterest boards.
They're not out of stock now, so you can easily get new ones. And then just charge her.
See, I can't get new ears unless I go to Disneyland, because where else am I going to wear my ears?
Yeah, they get worn one. Okay.
So on there are Pinterest boards with people who like come up with creative ways to display their 35 sets of mini ears. Right.
This is where I would like to make a plug for Heather Nelson Wilkins, because she made my ears when I celebrated my birthday at Walt Disney World in February, and they were amazing, and people kept giving me compliments and saying, oh my God, where'd you get those ears? Are they on Etsy? We would love them. So Heather, if you're listening, and I hope you are, now is the time to start getting those business cards made so we can start passing them out.
Does she make them for anybody, or does she have an Etsy store?
She made them special for me, so I feel super special. And my sister had matching ones, and we just, did little color changes. But I think Brandy would love them, so you should totally see them. She did make some for a few other people to gift, but they are really awesome. So,
all right. Yeah. So if you send me a picture of them, I will put that in the show notes.
I still need to read the last paragraph.
All right,
there
we go. All right.
Tickets for the premier event.
This is the one that's going to send John over the edge.
Tickets for the premier event begin at $199 for access to the event only, and $249 for access to the event and a general admission ticket to the theme park before the event. Special pricing is available for annual pass holders.
Do these both include the food, though?
That's what it implies.
They both include, I was expecting
the pricing to be way more. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
Here's this thing. I had this dream back in like December, end of December, beginning January, that my friend was supposed to go to a buffet, a gourmet buffet at Universal Studios with another friend of ours. And at the last minute, our other friend canceled. So she invited me. And so we went to this buffet, and I couldn't stop eating, and they kicked us out because they ran out of food.
So what I'm hearing is Layla should take you to this event.
If she ends up with tickets somehow, but that would just be the dream I had, that we went to this nighttime Universal Studios gourmet feast. But then the funny part is when they kicked us out of the feast at the end, we found out we were somehow in Universal Studios, Florida, and had to find a way home. But I literally had a dream about having a feast at night of gourmet food at Universal Studios.
It's a sign. You should be going to this thing.
So let's talk about that for a second. How does this sound to you? Because I know how it sounded to me. It sounded to me like they're charging $200 to see the new projection show.
Yes.
And
so I'm not excited about that. It's a projection. It's a projection show. I mean, but they did say Lord Voldemort. So is it a Lord Voldemort projection?
No. Okay. So I read about this. And so the projection is all, it's kind of like the Disney villains version. So you can get all the bad people and their dementors. And then, he who must not be named comes out at the very end. Supposedly But I am excited about this because, more importantly, what it did say was it's basically unlimited access to shop and do the rides to only the people who have paid the large amount of money.
Right. So you get, I mean,
but which again, means hopefully shorter lines.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Depending on how they sell it. Yeah. But it's still only, to me, it's still only two rides. Like, you have to add, they're doing an add on where you can have daytime access to the theme park. So it's a projection show. It's two rides and it's
a lot of food,
dinner. Meh.
And special merchandise.
But, and I really do want to know what this food is, though, because is it all Hogwarts food? Are they going to have Mrs. Weasley's onion soup? Like, is it going based on the Harry Potter cookbook?
I'm going to assume that it's a lot of food from the Leaky Cauldron.
Three broomsticks yeah. And the hog's head.
Yeah. So I'm gonna guess that it's probably a lot of food from there, and that's where you're going to be. Like, they're gonna have it the dinner portion set up in there. My question is, how many times what date will you and Randy be going, John?
Yay!
I don't think there is a date.
For those of you that don't know,
she doesn't go with me anyway. She goes with her friend Layla.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, John
it's more
loves
friends than Layla.
John loves him with his eyes at everything Harry Potter.
I'm so over it.
John's eyes are currently stuck at the top of his head.
My favorite part
he can't come back.
My favorite part of that story was watching John, like, actually, like, the moment that he checked out of, like,
I did. I totally
listening to Brandy.
I didn't mean to,
I looked over and I could see like a switch. It was like, I'm like, oh, there he went.
The rat in the wheel was just running in my head.
So I mean, again, is this something that you would go to? I mean, does this sound exciting to you? Like, if you had a disposable
$200? Okay, so I would not pay the money for this, but if I were to win tickets, I would be pretty darn excited.
All right, very good. So we're going to have John read the last two stories. The only reason that I think I'm going to have John read the news from now on, because I just, again, so soothing. I think the only reason I wanted Brandy to read that one is because it was Harry Potter and I just love watching John's reaction. So, all right, John.
I don't know if I would have made it through that one, yeah.
I think we should have John read all Harry Potter in the future, too.
That's brilliant.
At what point would John just be like, I can't go on. I'm out and just storm out of here.
Any future Harry Potter stories. So, all right, John, what's going on with
Harry Potterville closed or whatever. I don't even know what it's called.
Harry Potterville.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
All right. What's going on with food festivals, John?
All right, cool. Knott's Berry Farm announces bigger, longer Boysenberry Festival. Knott's Berry Farm is the birthplace of the boysenberry, and every spring Knott's celebrates the flavorful berry and its historic roots during the Knott's Boysenberry Festival with unique food and live entertainment. The 31-day food festival features over 75 one-of-a-kind boysenberry-inspired dishes, drinks, and more, plus unique entertainment. The wine and craft brew tasting garden and family fun Knott's Berry Farm Festival runs March 29th through April 28th, 2019. Several new items such as boysenberry dry rubbed flank steak topped with boysenberry cream cheese, boysenberry glazed salmon, yuck, and boysenberry...
How dare you? That sounds amazing.
I know. It sounds amazing.
I hate fish so much. It's almost as bad as Harry
salmon.
Potter.
Salmon doesn't count as fish.
No, I hate salmon.
Yeah, right?
I love fish, but I hate salmon. Do not like
what?
Salmon. Salmon is like the worst fish.
You're the worst. Yeah.
All right. It's easy. I'm with you, Karen. I feel you. The list also includes some favorites from years past, like the boysenberry elote and other new vegetarian items, and more than 25 local crafters will be vending boysenberry-themed items, plus there will be a selection of executive Boysenberry Festival merchandise available. For a full list of items, visit our website, thevacationlandpodcast.com.
So, yeah, so we have a couple of links on our Facebook page, but if you go to thevacationlandpodcast.com, we have a full list, because we do this to us ourselves every time we come in here, like right before lunch, and then we start reading all the food items, and then we're starving by the end.
Yeah.
But so we threw in a couple on there.
Entertainment for the festival will feature the musical stage show Snoopy's Boysenberry Jamboree.
Jamboree. Get it?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's jam.
You know, they didn't. Okay. All right. Yeah.
John's eyes are rolling again, y'all. He may go blind before he finishes this.
You guys are making me read this with my soothing voice, but God.
Really? It's just
I mean, seriously, his eyes, he may go blind and not be able to finish this.
Pure rage inside.
A musical comedy melodrama and performance by Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies and other country and bluegrass duos. There will also be Tied Up in Knots. An art exhibit celebrating the history of the park. The Boysenberry Festival is free with park admission. Food and drinks items may be purchased a la carte or try 8 tastes from a selection of 14 items with a tasting card of $35, which is definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, the tasting cards we're going to talk about the SeaWorld one in a second, but the tasting cards are amazing. You can, it's a 14, you get 8 cards.
You get 8.
And there's 14 items?
Correct, Amundo.
Okay.
And yeah, John and I always split tasting cards, but usually there was 14.
There used to be 8 items.
Yeah.
There was like one item.
So now we might have to buy separate cards this year.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we could try it all.
Yeah. Because I was just thinking, like, because there's 14 items. There's more items now than tasting cards. In the past, you used to be able to just take your tasting card to each booth, and you would get whatever, and so you could taste everything.
Yeah, and you had a map on it, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's things on here.
Before you guys all go, could you, like, just ask me if I'm interested? Because it seems that nobody renewed their Disneyland annual passes this year, and everybody's been...
Yeah, because it cost them... So equivalent of the mortgage on your house.
So yes. Everybody got the Knott's one.
Yeah. Can I just say, I get so upset when Disney raises their prices for the annual pass because Knott's gets that much busier.
So everybody got Knott's passes, and they've been selling me on it and explaining to me how budget friendly it is, including parking and the dining plan.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I have been seriously considering getting a new one because now literally I think I am the only person who does not have one.
Yeah. I mean, I got one over Christmas. And
so I think I am the only person who doesn't have one. So please check with me because I may want to go with everybody.
Now mine doesn't have parking and mine doesn't have the dining plan because I don't go enough. We'll talk about the dining plan at the end of the show, in our last segment. But I don't have the dining plan. I may add it if I decide to go more. But I only go really for stuff like this, like the festivals, Christmas time, Boysenberry Festival. And I think if I go 3 times on my pass, it's paid for. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not – I don't go a lot. I don't go with a frequency that I go to Disneyland, mostly because my wife doesn't have a pass to Knott's Berry Farm. But yeah, I think, you know, it's fun. You know, I think Karen had definitely talked about getting one. So we're going to go, hopefully John, Brandy and I, and we'll have Karen with us and we will, you know, we'll put up some photos and maybe a vlog. And I love the Boysenberry Festival.
I always get so excited for the Boysenberry Festival. I get excited for like all seasons at Knott's except the Peanuts Festival.
The peanuts are awesome.
Yeah, but the festival sucks.
Oh.
There's no food. There's a cute entertainment
stuff. They do layovers on rides. Yeah, the food is just like, here's a cookie that we painted like Charlie Brown's shirt.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it's it's not a festival.
To this, you know, we'd like to see more food because really your stomach is the way to go.
And really, I think we went, I went over Christmas with Aaron because we got our passes, but, I love Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies. I, you know, they did such a great job over Christmas. I don't know if you guys got to catch their show.
They're awesome.
Over the Christmas season, but it was probably one of my favorite things because I've seen them hundreds of times, between Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. And so like their Christmas show was one of the best things that I've ever seen them do. It was so good. So, all right, John, take us into what our next part of the story, what's going on down at SeaWorld, another food festival.
We're
going
to set sail on a taste adventure at SeaWorld's San Diego Seven Seas Craft Beer and Food Festival. Sip and sample your way around the world of international...
Not to be confused with Sip and Savor, which is at California Adventure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We're sipping and sampling?
And setting sail.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to start from the beginning here. Sip and sample your way around the world of international street food traditions, craft beers, and wines, and enjoy live musical performances along the way. SeaWorld's Executive Chief Dave McHugh...
I believe that's chef.
That is exactly... that is correct. Yes. Retractions and... Yeah. Okay, so
attractions.
SeaWorld's executive chef, Dave McHugh, and his expert culinary team offer you a chance to enjoy some cuisine featuring local, substantial, sustainable ingredients and more than 50 unique signature flavors from around the world. What's more, if you're into craft beer and wine tasting, enthusiasts will love the array of sections available at the festival's. Select items include pretzel mac and cheese with chorizo, panela cheese, and chives, micro basil tomato pottage. What is that?
It's like porridge.
Oh, porridge. Okay.
It's like, but without the rice, so it's more like a chunky kind of soup.
Oh. Also without the R. It's pottage instead of porridge.
Yeah.
Without the R.
I was thinking like the three bears, but I was like, okay.
The pirates took the R.
Because we're setting sail.
Now my eyes are rolling.
Sauteed pretzel knots, which is new.
Sauteed pretzel knots? Why are you sauteing pretzels?
Well, so that they would be extra garlicky. I'm assuming they're sauteing
like,
them in garlic and butter.
In lye? You got to put lye on a pretzel.
I mean, I'm guessing that the pretzels are done and they're just like finishing them off in the...
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, I'm going to be reading some things that I'm going to be pronouncing wrong. So
right,
let's burn through this.
We're going to get through it together.
Okay, spicy ebi shrimp tamaki, which has furikake.
Furikake.
Easy there. We don't want to get an explicit reading.
Sorry. Okay. Sushi rice, avocado, and chipotle aioli.
You said that right.
Umami shiitake.
Is it Dynamite? Edamame? So
we're threading line here.
Edamame?
Umami.
Oh, umami. Okay.
Umami shiitake.
Okay.
Which is a mushroom.
Jerk chicken sliders. I got that one. Scotch bonnet coconut glazed onion bun, which is part of that.
Wait, scotch bonnet coconut glazed onion bun.
Yeah, it's part of the jerk chicken sliders.
Ah, okay.
So...
Your pronunciation was correct. I'm just curious, like, because the onion bun, it makes it sound sweet, but it's
I think that's the thing. It's
spicy.
The play on flavor. So you're going to be, the jerk chicken will be inside of that. It'll be spicy and
good.
Sweet.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
It does.
It does sound really good, actually.
Jamaican,
it would be delicious with a microbrew.
And we're going to get to that.
Oh, all right. Jamaican spare rib, barbecue red chili corn relish shoots, pepper pot shrimp, red beans, and island rice. Beverage offerings include Craft Beer Hub at Polynesian Flavors, Green Flash Passion Fruit Kicker, New Belgian Voodoo Hazy IPA, Carl Strauss Aurora Hoppy Hales? Maui Brewing Bikini Blonde, Kona Brewing Hanail Island IPA. Okay, so then moving on to the next section. Those all sound good. Polynesian Flavors Tiki Bar.
Ooh.
Which I didn't know they did tiki stuff there. That's pretty it's pretty
good idea. That is
good
pretty fun.
Idea.
Feel like we should be appropriately dressed when we do this event.
Yeah. Mai Tai, Mango Daiquiri, Strawberry Daiquiri, Pina Colada, Tiki Fruit Punch with Passion Fruit Boba, non-alcoholic, and Coco Loco, Rum, Zico Coconut Water, and Pineapple Juice.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm going to need to be in a wheelchair for this.
Just break your toe.
We'll rent you. Thank you. Yeah. We'll rent you a motorized scooter. And
I don't think you want a drunk Karen driving a motorized scooter.
Oh, I believe that is illegal.
Is it? Is it like?
I don't know for sure, but I did hear of somebody getting a DUI in like some weird news thing.
That's funny.
So I guess. Chris is going to be pushing me.
All right, let's do
all
it.
Right.
Tasting in packages. His motorized scooter.
Here's the last part of the story.
Just like tow her along.
Yeah.
Tasting packages ranging from 10 to 15 items are available. A 10-item tasting card will run $50, while a 15-item tasting card will run you $65 per person. For a full list of options, visit our Facebook page and our website.
So, yeah. So, what we put on here is just but a small sampling of the things that are going to be available at the Seven Seas Food Festival. And it all sounds really good. So what they do, just so that we can break down what we just heard, what they do is, as part of this festival, they have different like locations. So one is like a Mediterranean location. One is a Caribbean Islands location.
I haven't been to SeaWorld in a very long time. So is SeaWorld themed like this, or are they
this
like
is just,
turning it
okay,
into
so
this?
You know the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot?
Yes.
You know how they do like different, like they have like certain locations and.
Yes, but they're in the certain lands. That's why I was wondering if they also have these lands.
They do not also have these lands. So I've actually never been to this festival. So, but SeaWorld is not themed like this at all. So I don't know how they have their booths set up, but like, you know, in like Epcot, like even though there's no Greek area of World Showcase, mm-hmm. they have a Greek booth. So I'm assuming it's where I'm guessing it is in the back area by like Arctic, their Arctic ride. And so they always do their festivals and stuff in the back there. They have a big like pavilion area kind of like you can rent out. So I'm assuming it's all back there. So, but they break it down into like these different locations that you can visit. So like, I don't know, Polynesian islands and, you know, the Mediterranean. And then in those, there's probably maybe like two dozen items, you know, that they're available. I thought that the price on the, tasting card was outrageous until I went to California Adventure last night. So for $50, you get 10 items. The annual pass price at the California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is $50 for 8 items. So
SeaWorld has won there.
Yeah. So SeaWorld won there. I mean, and a lot of that stuff sounds really, like we were just talking about it, like a lot of that stuff sounds really good. The stuff at California Adventure was stuff that they've had, you know, some of it they've had repeat over the last couple of years. So does this sound good? I mean, I know you guys aren't SeaWorld fans, but does this sound like?
Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds like,
road trip?
Road trip. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, which we're trying to get Karen.
I can't support SeaWorld.
Here we go
again.
So
you guys have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
she's going to stay home with the kids.
If John wants to come.
Watching Harry Potter.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
So.
Win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
John, if you don't drive, you can drink.
Hey, all right.
There you go. The only thing that keeps me from going to SeaWorld more often is that like hour and a half drive down there to San Diego. But
you can take the Metrolink.
There you go.
It's also an hour and a half ride.
And then that lets you sober up enough to drive home.
Yes, it does.
That is not the worst idea I've
unless
ever heard.
Do they have a drink cart? Do they have a drink cart?
They do not.
Yeah, they don't.
Can you bring your own alcohol? Yeah.
I assume if you put it in a water bottle and put it in your bag, you are okay.
But some of those drinks sounded like really, really good. Like the Mai Tais and the coconut
drinks.
Water. Yeah, that sounded
tiki
delicious.
Fruit punch with passion fruit. Oh, that's the non-alcoholic one. Sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
Get that
bad.
Out of here.
Coco Loco rum, Zico coconut water, and pineapple juice.
So, yeah,
Coco Loco. I feel like if you ask them nicely, though, it's not like they don't have alcohol back there. They could easily turn that boba into alcoholic beverage.
Is that one with the coconut water? Is that non-alcoholic?
No, that one's alcoholic. Boba with alcohol, like those little balls.
It's too hard.
Have you tried?
People have tried. You would because it's the makeup of it is too hard. But what you can do is that's why they have those other things. They're not boba, but they're called like popping bubbles.
Oh yes.
And so the popping bubbles are more likely to.
Do they soak them? They could soak them in alcohol, kind of thing. Would that work?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
It's a very fine line to make a good boba balls.
And I just like right. that. I just like that statement, boba balls.
So, Karen, have we convinced you? Are you going to do we?
How
we
much
going?
Are the tickets to?
I think we get like a discount, or like I think they always do like a friends get in free or something like that. So they're not.
So,
that,
I mean,
they're not
depending
expensive.
On the price of SeaWorld, yeah. I may be in. I've heard that you guys have mentioned there are more rides now, so
there
there's more
rides
stuff
now.
To
there
do.
There is more stuff to do.
So I would be down for a trip down to SeaWorld.
All right, we'll figure out what the price of getting Karen in is, and then we'll go check out the. I'm gonna go regardless, but I think you would really enjoy it. It sounds like something that we would do well at. So, all right,
you guys could do a vlog.
We can. We've
got John, who will be a guest on the.
Right, vlog. Yeah, we'll take John with us. It'll be great. So ride the Metro, get drunk.
We'll bring you a blanket, you know, and everything.
Bring your own blanket. Okay. Finally, our last news story, John.
Okay. So this is.
Let's talk about.
Star Wars. So all we got to start with Star Wars. Let's just preface that. Galaxy's Edge to open May 31st at Disneyland Resort. Disney CEO Bob Iger announced Star Wars Galaxy Edge will open Star Wars Galaxy Edge ahead of schedule at Disneyland Park in California on May 31st. The announcement, which came at a shareholders meeting, pushes the opening of Galaxy's Edge on both coasts up much earlier than some had expected. Online speculation hinted at a September opening for Disneyland and an early December opening for Walt Disney World's version at Hollywood Studios. But there's a catch. Both parks will open with only one of the two major planned rides ready to run right away. On opening day for Phase 1, guests will be transported to the remote planet of Batu, full of unique sights, sounds, smells, and tastes. Featuring restaurants with names like Docking Bay 7, Food and Cargo, which will serve as the land's quick service location, and August Cantina, where guests will be able to order an alcoholic beverage for the first time ever inside Disneyland. Also part of Phase 1, Disneyland promises guests will become part of the story as they take the controls of the most famous ship in the galaxy aboard Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Phase 2, opening later this year, will be Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, with Disney refers to as the most ambitious, immersive, and advanced attraction ever imagined, which will place guests in the middle of climactic battles between the First Order and the Resistance, and will blur the lines between fantasy and reality. So that's pretty
I want to point out that as we were reading this, or as John was reading this, he just, his little pauses, and he would glance over at Chris to see how Chris was taking this as he continued along.
Yeah, because this is pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know? So I should have warned you. You think that the food pronunciations were bad. Try, you know, pronouncing Batu and Oak's Canteen. So is that most of the story, or is
no? There's still more. Okay. I thought we might. Okay,
so let's unwrap that. So
why would they release it with only just one ride, missing the other?
Money.
Because they are probably dollar
bills, y'all.
Shanghai Disneyland did the same thing.
Okay,
the plans were all of the lands were going to be open on time, and then they didn't. So then it suddenly turned into. Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3.
I think a couple of reasons that they're doing this. Number one, attendance has been way down at domestic theme parks this year. They have been running specials.
It's so freaking expensive.
Possibly. That's part of it. That's part of their design. I think people are just – I think also because people are waiting for Star Wars. People have been waiting. We know 2019 was going to be the date, so nobody came in 2018. They've been running specials on rooms that are unheard of. They've been – in Florida, they've been running dining plan. Disney Dining Plan offers free dining out here in California. Not as much here in California because it's more locals-oriented and there's only three – park hotels, but the attendance has definitely been down, and so I think they're panicking a little bit.
Don't think they needed to, though, because when I was there in February, it could have been because it was Princess Marathon weekend. I did not feel like attendance was down,
and that's what we keep hearing. Yeah. We keep hearing attendance is down, like, attendance is down, attendance is down.
I did not feel like it at all.
But that, I think you might be right. It's like Princess Marathon. The Marathon weekends definitely bring the crowds up at Disney World in Florida. The other thing is that I think they, quite honestly, for those of you that know financial stuff, the fiscal quarter ends at the end of September and begins in October.
Oh.
And so they're going to have on the books in this fiscal quarter their Fox acquisition. The Fox acquisition is going through. It's going to happen, and they're going to be billions of dollars added in debt. And so I think that they need the cash flow.
Balance.
Yeah, they need the cash flow to bring up the numbers so that the stock price doesn't tank once the numbers get released at the end of the quarter. Ah. So a lot of people had been speculating. I think I wrote it in the story. A lot of people have been checking like early December for Florida and like late September Labor Day weekend kind of thing early September Labor Day weekend for California. And so I think they're under pressure to get these things open. What do you guys think about them only opening up with one attraction? So the land only has two attractions.
But the bar will be open, right?
The bar will be open, and so will all the shops.
So Randy will be in.
Well, yeah, I'm not a Star Wars fan. It's not that I don't like Star Wars. It's just not my thing. So I'm not excited about it opening, but I mean, if they're opening with one ride in a bar, it's the first time alcohol is being sold in Disneyland, then it's okay.
Is John going to go into the reservation system for getting into the park?
I'm
I'm hoping, it seems like it's going to be a madhouse.
Yeah. So that we've kind of joked a little bit on here, like, you know, I was going to buy Karen a ticket and we're going to camp out for the 3 days prior.
Yeah, Karen's not doing that. But also Chris can't do that because there's a reservation system.
So there's a reservation system in place.
And that's why I was wondering if you will be mentioning it later on. But the, you know, like when you read it online, they're going to open all this in phases. But the most important thing is that Disneyland for the first like month and a half or something like that, you have to make a reservation in order to get into the land.
John, let's go into the second half of the story because we do talk about that in the second half of the story.
Indeed. All right. The who, what, when, where, and why. Park admission. Regular theme park admission is required to enter Disneyland Parks and Disneyland Hollywood Studios. There will not be a separate ticket for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. To visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland Parks between May 31st and June 23rd, 2019, guests will need valid theme park admission and will be required to make a no-cost reservation subject to availability to access the land. We'll share information on how to make a reservation at a later date on the Disney Parks blog and on Disneyland.com. Land entry. Because we anticipate galactic excitement during the opening months this year, we are planning ahead to deliver the best possible experience for our guests. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will be open during normal park operation hours. It will not be included in the extra magic hour or magic morning at Disneyland Park. It will be available during extra magic hours at Disney Hollywood Studios. Attractions. For your vacation planning purposes, please be aware that Disney FastPass service includes access via Disney MaxPass at Disneyland Park and Disney FastPass Plus service at Disneyland or Disney's Hollywood Studios will not be initially be offered at Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. We will continually evaluate our operations and services in order to help provide a great guest experience. Planning. If you're looking to book a vacation to Disneyland, the Disneyland Resort, visit Disneyland.com. You should also note that the vacation packages, park tickets, and Disney Resort Hotel stays do not guarantee access to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the land including participation and its experiences, will be subject to capacity restraints and other restrictions. Stay tuned to our podcast and the vacationlandpodcast.com for more information.
I feel like now would be a good plug for Karis as well. I'm sure Karis would be very good at working out
Part of this is going back to what Karen said, part of this is if you book a room at a Disneyland Resort hotel, you are going to get a reservation to get into Star Wars Land. And that's our good opportunity, like Karen said, to plug our good friend Karis Milano over at Magical Vacation Planners by Karis, who she can certainly help you out with that. But I think this is the response to the people who are planning on living on Harbor Boulevard for, you know, 72 hours prior to Star Wars Land opening. And I think this is the best thing that I'm disappointed because, you know, if I don't get, you know, in to the reservation system, it's going to be very, very difficult to get in that first month. And so the first time I get to see Star Wars Land may actually be on the East Coast, because they're not going to do reservations for Star Wars Land at Hollywood Studios.
And I was very excited to spoil their vacation.
Yeah. So short story, I'm going to be going to Disney World in the end of August, and we made our reservations and our vacation plans specifically to avoid anything having to do with Star Wars Land. And Karen sends me a text message about 4 or 5 when this story came out. Karen sends me a text message and says, "Hey, guess what? They're opening Star Wars Land 2 days after you, 2 days before you get there."
Yay!
So, yeah. So that was fun. And, you know, we're going to make the best of it. We're going to try and do it. You know, it's going to be part of the extra magic hours at Hollywood Studios in Florida, but not here. You know, there are capacity issues with Disneyland. It's much, much smaller park. So, you know, really the only way to guarantee yourself in to Star Wars Land is, to book that Disneyland, resort hotel vacation.
FYI,
package.
Those hotel rooms are super expensive. And this was before, the date was even released.
If they were overpriced before, they're overpriced now.
My sister is staying, before, you know, like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, and the hotel room, before like resort fee and all of that stuff, just the hotel room itself is like at $400 or $500. Ouch. And that's before they release the date of,
I'd rather go camping on Harbor.
Yeah, me too.
Didn't they, you said capacity at, the capacity difference of the two parks, but didn't they close Toontown in Florida for Star Wars Land?
No, they closed down. They didn't close down anything for Star Wars Land. What they did in Florida is they closed down what was previously known as the Backlot Tour. So there was Catastrophe Canyon and there was the old Backlot Tour plus another show that they closed, and all of the Backlot area, what used to be Hollywood Studios, where the tram tour used to go through, that's all gone. So that's where Star Wars Land is going to be. Out there. It's
honestly,
the same size.
You don't really miss it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same. The lands are the same size. Like there's, but what I'm saying is like, in, as far as admitting people into Disneyland, the capacity issues in Disneyland, like just letting people into the park itself, they have to be cognizant of those sort of, capacity restrictions out here. So I don't think that they want people, you know, in tents on, you know, in the parking structure. So, this is the smartest way to do it. This is not the way that works best for me and for what we do, but this is, you know, they're going to release later on and hopefully I'll be able to, you know, at least secure. You need to have a valid ticket already purchased and you need to, use that ticket or your annual pass to get into, the, basically the lottery for getting into Star Wars Land in that 1 month that's open. I think a lot of people are going to possibly wait until that second attraction is open. You know, I don't know. I mean, I get it. They want to open it. They want to get it open. They want people to see it, but it has, I don't think it has anything to do with the reasons that they gave. Again, I think that they just, they need those hotel rooms filled. They need people coming into the park. They need people drinking at the bar, you know.
Is this how you're going to convince somebody to drop $500 on a hotel room now?
Yep. If you want to see, now what I will say is what I feel bad for, I feel bad for all of the cast members who then have to explain to
Everybody else,
you know, from God knows where, and explain to them why they can't get into Star Wars Land and why nobody told them that they had to make a reservation, you know, 6 months prior to, you know, it's like a Disney dining reservation in Florida. It's, you know,
good luck gets control.
Yeah. So, you know, the line for City Hall is going to be, you know, stretching to Fullerton.
Good luck plaids.
Yeah. Because, you know, people are going to be upset because people don't pay attention. People that are not as involved or as knowledgeable, you know, about these things as we are. We know we all read articles. We all kind of more or less pay attention to what's going on. At least I do. And so if you are just planning your vacation to Disneyland, you're like, oh, Star Wars Land is going to be open when our vacation is planned. Nobody's going to know that. I would just say half the people that go there are not going to know.
I also kind of think, though, that Disney has so conditioned the visitors who go to their parks domestically, at least, that really you would need to plan ahead of time, especially if you go to Florida.
You would think so.
Because these dining plans always have to be made months in advance. Your rides have to be picked months in advance.
I will say this.
Even the timing.
You know, my hotel is walking distance to Star Wars Land, and I'm so incredibly happy about that, or to Hollywood Studios in Florida, because, you know, I don't have to deal with buses. I don't have to deal with any of that stuff there. But, you know, again, we talk about Southern California. People are going to be upset because they can't get into Star Wars Land. And that's, you know, I feel bad for the cast members, but
I believe you'll have those sky gondolas ready.
Yeah,
they're
thinking that those are going to be open by then too.
They were not open when I was there. I didn't even get a chance to see the test.
Some people are thinking like spring for the gondolas. This is all in Florida, of course.
Yeah. So for those gondolas, I mean, Florida, doesn't it have less wind outside of hurricanes than California gets?
They do, but they have more lightning strikes. It's like Central Florida is like the lightning ground strike capital of North America.
Woo!
Something like that. So, you know.
Bring a blanket.
Thank you. That's it. There we go. I was looking for a title episode. Title of the episode. There is bring a blanket. You know, it's, again, it's the best way to do it. I think it's the smartest way to do it. It's the way that to do it makes the most sense for Disney. As my wife said, I don't think people are going, the hardcore people that are going there are not going to care, you know, about the fact that only one attraction is open. The Millennium Falcon attraction is supposed to be really, really cool. Like every switch and every button does something in there. And it's like you're actually sitting in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. As my wife said, I think some people are just going to be content to go in there and stand there and weep. So,
sure. In costume. They will most definitely be in costume.
If you want to see what the Star Wars Land costumes are going to be like, again, visit our our website, thevacationlandpodcast.com, and we have a whole article up on the new costumes coming for Star Wars Land.
Just very quickly on those costumes, having seen pictures of them, I feel like people are going to get confused because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be wearing costumes that are similar.
They're gonna
Except
have to set
that
up
they're not going to have a name tag.
Kind of a guideline, yeah. They're going to have to set
so
up some guidelines.
Kind of like wearing a red polo shirt to go shopping at Target.
A little
exactly.
bit. Or like,
I was looking at them and I was like, oh, you know, like there are a lot of things that are sold already that people probably own that if they wear, you're going to be like, hi, sorry, are you a cast member? You know.
Do they put any kind of restrictions on what you can wear to Harry Potterville?
No, they encourage you to dress up and you get special interactions if you're dressed up.
Yeah, so
I actually had people hiss at me for wearing my Dark Mark tattoo.
My goodness, that's intense. I don't know if I can deal with that level of intensity.
John is like, I can't.
So stupid.
Yes, I wear my robes every year.
Disney though is notoriously reluctant.
Well, it's good you're getting some use out of those really expensive robes.
Disney is notoriously reluctant to embrace things that it's unfamiliar with, though. And so I think we might start running into issues with, like, having to restrict people. Like, I think their initial plan or the initial reaction that they're going to have is to restrict what you can wear in Star Wars Land. And they're going to have to come up with some guidelines if that's their plan, because otherwise, I think Karen's right. It's going to be, like, the clothes look like just...
They just look like your regular average... I mean, these are not, like, fancy-smancy. These look like your regular poor people.
Yeah, they look like, you know, like a remote outpost, like what you would expect people in a Star Wars movie to be wearing. And I think, you know, people are going to go dressed up as Rebel. I think it's going to be the reaction is going to be, you know, intense, and it's going to be incredible. And I think that, you know, people are going to, again, be content to stand there and just weep about, you know, standing underneath the Millennium Falcon.
I don't think they're going to stand there and weep. I think they're going to be too busy running around in costume, taking pictures.
Well,
you know, to live out their fantasies.
The entrance, I mean, you go into the Millennium Falcon the same way that Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi go into the Millennium Falcon in one of the original Star Wars movies. Like, it's that they're set it up so that it's reminiscent of that iconic shot in the movie.
I'm not going to be able to hustle, just so you know. I'm going to get in much slower than the rest of them.
So, you know, I think so. Again, this was the 500 pound, you know, Wookiee in the room over the week. And so, anybody else have any more, you know, thoughts about Star Wars, like Galaxy's Edge, whatever the hell we're calling it?
I'm just curious what kind of drinks they're going to have at the bar.
Oh, they had a whole thing
about it. Yeah, there's a whole thing about them. There's, if you go on the Disney Parks blog, they have, so it's different alcoholic drinks, some teas, some of them look really good. Some of them look really interesting.
I'm assuming they're going to be charging like $20 because they're dropping a $1 flashing ice cube in there.
That's it.
Yeah. In all fairness, though, Disney usually gives you that option.
I know.
You can buy it for $12. Or you can buy it for $20.
One of them
the flashing ice
actually,
cube.
I'm going to start buying because I looked it up on Amazon. You could get like four of those for a dollar. I'm going to start bringing them to Disneyland with me and just plopping them in my drinks.
Yeah, there you go.
People are going to be like, oh, look at her. She's fancy.
Yeah.
With her $20 drink.
She spent that extra money. She spent that glow cube money. Yeah, that was offensive. I apologize. You know, one of them, it looked like it had a pastry on top. So they have the Bantha milk, which is the green, which is the blue milk. They have a green milk drink. They have a tea drink. They have, they didn't really go into a whole lot of detail on like what, I mean, they did. But it's all online. You can look that stuff up online on the Disney Parks blog that goes into detail about what they're going to be serving. They're also going to be having like a separate area where you can just buy the drinks, where you don't have to go into the non-alcoholic drinks will be sold separately. In order to get a alcoholic drink, you have to go into Oga's Cantina. You can't like, you have to be in the cantina to drink it. You can't like wander.
So there's going to be like,
you can't
a huge problem
world,
there.
Yeah.
It's so packed.
Yeah. You can't take your blue like alcoholic Bantha milk drink on it. It's a small world.
So it's not like at California Adventure where you could just buy alcohol anywhere and walk around.
Right, exactly.
You're going to need to chuck this, baby.
Yeah, there's going to be lines to get into Oga's. There's going to be, you know, you're going to need to get in there and
see. And that's my favorite part about Universal Studios, though, is it's nice on a hot day to walk around with a cold beer.
My favorite part about Universal Studios is that you can buy like a 24-ounce Miller Lite, you know, in a can and walk around with it. So.
Oh, I prefer Duff.
Oh, I apologize. nothing's as classy as walking around with your 24, you know, Bud Light.
Can you bring your own beer cozy?
You can.
And you can also buy it. There. They have them there. So,
wow. Alrighty then.
Alrighty. Going once on Star Wars Land, going twice on Star Wars Land, Do we have any other?
Sold to the Chris who will be waiting in line.
There we go. But I can't wait in line because I got to be waiting in line for reservations now. That makes me sad. All right. So thank you, John, for reading the news for us today. Yeah. That was Park Hopping. We have one last segment. I want to introduce a new segment on the show this week, and we're going to call it – the name of the segment is Dining Plan. And we all enjoy eating. Karen really enjoys eating. In fact, Karen is our food reporter. And if you've noticed, you know, a lot of our vlogs, if you've been to our YouTube channel, it involves me and Karen eating. So
find me sometime and let me tell you about how my – experience at Victoria and Albert's was not so great.
So we're going to carve out a segment maybe once a month where we're going to review a restaurant, an experience, and we're going to include it in this new segment. So I thought it'd be great for our first segment to talk to Brandy and John, who recently added the Knott's Berry Farm Dining Plan. And so for anybody that out there that's looking for information on this, because even on the like the pass holder Facebook pages and different Facebook pages, the people look for information for Knott's Berry Farm Dining Plan, there's a lot of questions. So I'm going to turn it over to Brandy and John and tell us all about the Knott's Berry Farm Dining Plan.
Great. So with the dining plan, I forget how much it was. We could look it up later. But it really makes it worth it if you go often enough. You get two meals a day, 4 hours apart. So if you're there all day, you pretty much have your lunch and dinner taken care of. Or if you're like John and I, who just, we live nearby, so we randomly just pop in there here and there, it's like free food. So, so far we've been there 3 times with the dining plan. John, what was your favorite so far?
The Boardwalk Barbecue, I think.
Yeah, I was going to have to say that's probably mine too. It's a really good size, good amount of food. We shared the tri-tip and the ribs.
Indeed. Yeah, they really hook it up.
And we both got macaroni and cheese.
I think the Boardwalk Barbecue is probably my favorite restaurant now at Knott's Berry Farm. That's not named Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant. Like, it's really, really good.
And they have a lot of choices on the dining plan. So that's the thing. On the dining plan, each restaurant that is on there, because not all restaurants are, each restaurant has two or more choices. And I think the Boardwalk Barbecue had the most choices and the best choices.
What's the other one over there? The other barbecue spot?
Oh, Fireman's Barbecue.
Yeah, that's really good, too.
That one is perfect to share. Mm-hmm. We did not get the dining plan for our kids on there because we go more without our kids. Then we go with our kids until the summer. But that one, yeah, you get the one meal. It's, I think it's like two ribs and a quarter of a chicken and a baked potato and a little cornbread.
Yes.
So we split that with our kids. Like, we each get a rib, and then
it's a lot of food.
They're still hungry after that rib. They could have some of the chicken, and then we split the baked potato. But we usually, last time we went, we had food left over. We couldn't eat it all.
All right. So the participating locations and your meal choices are as follows. In Ghost Town, you can go to Sutter's Grill and choose from a cheeseburger, buffalo-style breaded chicken sandwich, chicken...
That's my next choice.
Chicken tenders, Western... Oh, Sutter's Grill just takes forever to serve you. It's like... If it's really busy that day, we waited 45 minutes for chicken tenders one day. Chicken tenders, Western bacon barbecue burger, Caesar salad, and cheese bread. At Sutter's Pizza, which is right around the corner, cheese pepperoni or veggie pizza wedge and a side salad. At the Calico Fry Company, carne asada fries. At Wagon Wheel Pizza, you can get cheese, pepperoni, or veggie pizza. At Fireman's Barbecue, which Brandy just talked about, you can get a half barbecue chicken and two ribs, or a half barbecue chicken with baked potato or corn, or a jumbo hot dog, or a flank steak sandwich, which actually sounds really good. Wilderness Broiler, which is over there by the formerly known as Bigfoot Rapids. Cheeseburger, footlong hot dog, grilled chicken sandwich, spicy chicken sandwich, Caesar salad, and cheese bread. You can go to Panda Express and get one entree and one side of your choice. Over in Camp Snoopy, you can go to the Grizzly Creek Lodge, where I used to work. Cheeseburger, chicken tenders, jumbo hot dog, grilled chicken sandwich, mac and cheese, and a piece of fruit. Cheese or pepperoni, pizza wedge, side salad, Caesar salad, or and a piece of cheese bread. Over at the Boardwalk, you can go to the Boardwalk Barbecue, as we were talking about. One entree and one side of choice. Or you can get a smoked sausage on a bun and a pulled pork sandwich. Or a rotisserie chicken salad. Or a house salad. over at Coaster's Diner. You can get a cheeseburger, double half-pound burger, chicken tenders, jumbo hot dog, Caesar salad, and cheese bread. These are all... You can get one of these items. You don't get all of these items. Mm-hmm. At BG Keen's Pizza, you can get the same cheese, pepperoni, or veggie pizza and a side salad. And in Fiesta Village, you can go to the Cantina, which is a tostada salad. You can get
that tostada salad is huge, by the way.
That's amazing. Does it come with a lot of, like, how's the meat content? Is it like, what's the meat
well,
to
we
like
haven't
salad
had
ratio?
That yet. We, okay. We went there and got the burritos, but we saw people walking by with those and we're like, okay, that's huge. We got to get that.
All right. You can get the grande burrito with beans and rice. You can get the torta sandwich with beans and rice, two tacos with beans and rice, or a Caesar salad and cheese bread. And finally, at Fiesta Dogs, you can get a plain all-beef hot dog. You can get a chili cheese dog. You can get a Mexican dog, a bratwurst with sauerkraut, spicy sausage with jalapenos, a foot-long all-beef hot dog with peppers and onions, and or a vegan dog on a bed of peppers and onions. All hot dogs are served with your choice of chips or a baked potato. And finally, you can go to Papa Loca. You can get carne asada fries. Look for the dining plan symbol at participating restaurants for dining plan meal options. So can you go over this one more time? How does...
Well, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So from what it sounds like, this would be for two real meals, so no
yes.
snackies.
No snacks and no desserts, which is sad. If they sold a funnel cake dining plan, I would buy it.
A funnel cake add-on to your dining plan. A drink
Are
is
you
in-
listening, Knots?
While the all-day dining plan doesn't include drinks, a souvenir bottle can be purchased online or at the park. Do we know what the cost of a souvenir bottle is?
Yeah. So I don't know about the day cost because there's two different ones you could buy. But I believe the souvenir bottle for the month cost was $35 or the unlimited paper cup was $29. We went with the paper cup because there's complaints online everywhere of people's souvenir cups getting stolen.
Wait, so when you said something about the souvenir cup, $35 a month?
No, total.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh,
what's that? $35 for,
it's
for
an
the
add-on.
Year.
So you go and you just bring your cup every time you go and fill it up as, you know, you
yeah,
need.
You get refills.
So $35 a year and you get unlimited refills yeah. on whatever you feel
so
like.
So you get free your... refills on your first visit and then every refill to your souvenir bottle is a dollar.
No, not on the drink plan.
Not on the drink
it's
plan.
It's free. You just have to bring your cup.
And that $35 is the drink
plan. Because that's not what Knott says. Knott says.
Okay, because I got the paper cup dining plan. Okay. So we did have that one before.
Yeah.
And I thought it was free before.
Yeah, Knott's Berry Farms website says the souvenir bottle includes free refills all day long on your first visit and $1 refills for the rest of the season.
Rest of the season, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, we got the paper cup one, and it's a small one, but it was like $29 and we just could go up at any time to any location and just get a soda.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So, but it's a small soda, but really who wants to lug around a bunch of soda when you're
seriously.
But yeah, so there's been a lot of complaints that people were stealing the souvenir cups. And so Knott's then tied it to your pass. So when you scan it, your picture comes up. So it says if that's your bottle or not,
oh, okay.
But that did not stop people from stealing.
Also, I have a complaint about those souvenir cups, and Brandy and John witnessed this when we went to Not Scary Farm this past year. Those things leak like crazy. If you like tip it the wrong way, my backpack is always ended up covered in soda. And so but at the same time, like the paper cups, they don't give you lids anymore at Knott's Berry Farm.
Or straws.
So huh. Then you're stuck with this paper cup that you've got to somehow drink out of unless you want to take your own straw with you.
Well, no, and that's why it's a small soda, so it's okay. Like, okay, it's hot, I'm thirsty,
okay.
I'm going to stop
drink it up
here
and, then you're...
and get this soda while we wait in this hot line. Now I'm throwing it away, and when we get off the line, I'll go grab another soda.
All right, so for your all-season drink refills, your package for the whole season is $31.99. For the all-season dining plan, which if you purchase at the time of your pass and do the monthly payments, you can add this to the cost of your monthly payments.
I also just want to say as the year goes on, these costs rise. So it's cheaper to buy in August. So these prices are going to be different than what I've paid.
So as the season goes on, you're saying that the cost of the packages tend to go
they
up?
They change, yeah.
Okay.
So are you saying I shouldn't buy anything until August now?
We are really almost to August, yeah.
But then I'll miss the Boysenberry Festival.
Buy a ticket to go to the Boysenberry Festival.
And then buy a pass separately later.
Buy the pass, Karen. Buy it now.
Just don't do all the add-ons until August.
Yeah. So if you want to do
They don't prorate. Do they prorate?
They don't prorate. No.
Exactly. So valid. Then I'm going to be missing 6 months.
So valid admission to the parks where all season dining will be used as required. Valid January 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019. So you don't get it prorated. So if you're going to buy it now. If you want to add it to your season pass and do the monthly payments, you can do that, but you have to purchase it on the monthly payments at the time that you purchase your pass, correct?
What?
So you can, thank you. So if you want to do monthly payments on your dining plan,
then you have to do it at the time of the pass. Otherwise, you have to pay up front.
Right. And the cost of the all season dining pass is $124 plus applicable taxes and fees. So if, like me, I didn't add the dining plan on, if I were to decide today that I wanted to do the dining plan added onto my pass, I would have to pay the $124 total upfront and not add it to my monthly payments, because my pass is on monthly payments. It's like $10 a month or something.
So, and I know we've spoken about this before, since now I'm really looking and putting thought into buying one. I think you guys said last time that it used to be like it ended at the year.
It still does.
So if I buy it now, I only have until the end of the year. I don't have 365 calendar days.
No.
I see.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
So that's why if you buy it, in August and do the payment plan, that's like your cheapest option, because they want everybody paid off by a certain.
But if I buy it in August and do the payment plan,
then you get one free entry before.
But it only goes until December.
No. So if you buy it for 2020 in August 2019, you get one free entry before then.
And then that's your
cheapest option for 2020 to go.
So the pass will kick in 2020, but I get one visit of my choice in 2019.
Yes.
Ah.
So in other words, if she were to buy a pass today, it would expire
on December 31st,
2019.
Oh, okay. I got it.
So we're only 3 months into it, but you get the free admission, one choice free admission. You can go to the Boysenberry Festival with us.
So
something to consider.
I will take a look. Oh, wait. So can I buy a 2020 pass
not
now?
Till August, not I till believe. August. I'm not positive on that, but I don't believe you can till August.
Okay.
And it used to not be until, when were we buying it? It used to be later than that. And they just this year, or last year, extended it up to August, which gave us lower payments. So I was happy because, we used to buy in November for the next year.
Okay.
And then we'd have it paid off by June. So.
Okay.
So now we buy in August and I think we're paid off by May. I have to check.
Is there a reason why it's not good for me to just pay it all off instead of being on a payment plan?
No, you can pay it all off. But the sooner you buy it, the cheaper it is. For me, it was just because we have kids. We're buying a lot of passes. Right. So we want the payment plan.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. So, anything else on the dining plan, Brandy? What are your thoughts on it? Because
so far, I'm absolutely loving it. We have not had a bad experience yet, I don't think.
I know there was a lot of controversy when they changed recently in the last, I would say, year or so. What were some of the changes? Do you remember that they made? Because
no, this is the first time we got it. I waited because it's not that old. I think this is its second or third year. So I waited on getting it to see what people were saying because I didn't want to spend $100 for a snack only. Mm-hmm. But these meals are really good.
And how far apart do your meals have to be?
4 hours.
Okay. So say you get like a lunch at 2, you can get another meal at
6.
Yeah.
So I guess my question then is, because Chris didn't get a meal plan with his because he doesn't go enough. What would you guys say? Like, how often would you need to be going to the parks or, you know, eating the meals to make this worthwhile for
everybody?
That's
a good question. Let's do some quick math here.
Right? Like, should I be adding it on in
August? So, it's $124.
Because, I mean,
I think you'd have to go like.
So I haven't been in a really long time. You would just have to be once a month and it would still be more than worth it. Because
so, 2 meals once a month?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much the meals cost at the parks.
Well, I mean, they're fairly pricey. I mean,
it would be worth it even if you only eat there once a month.
Yeah, even adding the drink plan on, I may add the drink plan on no matter what, because every time you buy a drink at Knott's, it's like $4. It's like Disneyland prices, you know, on steroids.
So even just one meal once a month, not even the two meals would be worth it.
Yeah. Because if you go, what is Knott's Open at? Knott's Open's at...
Unless it's past holder early entry. Yeah. It opens around 10, I believe. Okay,
so if you got a, so if you got a meal at 11, you can go 11, 4, and then you can eat again at 8.
So you can but you only get two meals.
Oh, you only get two meals a day.
Two meals.
Okay.
That's you cannot get three meals.
So if you're going there, say for when it opens at 10, you know, just eat before you leave your house. Yeah. So then you eat around noon and then eat again. But I mean, there's not much to do at Knott's to stay from open to close most days. So the two meals are still worth it.
You still love your Knott's?
No, I do. No, that's why I love them. It's not as cumbersome as going to Disneyland, which I love Disneyland, but Knott's is so much easier to get from your car to the gate, to the park, to through security, and get your free food. I mean, it's not free. You paid for it, but it's free.
Okay.
It feels free.
You're prepaying your meals. So, yeah, if you went once a month and had a meal, then it's paid for. Because the meals at the Boardwalk Barbecue are fairly
beefy.
They're probably pricey. They're probably one of the most expensive meals you're going to get inside of Knott's. And Coasters is not cheap either. So I feel like two meals a day is a pretty good deal for the price.
They also do, I haven't been able to try it yet, but for all of their events there, they do have special dining options that they don't advertise. So you got to pay attention to the Facebook pages. I know over Christmas they had a like turkey stuffing sandwich hidden away somewhere that was covered on the dining plan.
Oh.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing what it is for the Boysenberry.
Yeah. There are little hidden nuggets for dining plan. Okay.
So there are options with the dining plan according to Knott's Berry Farm. You can get the single meal deal. You can enjoy an entree, side, and a fountain drink. You can also get the all-day dining. Guests with all-day dining will receive a wristband at any of the participating locations and enjoy an entree and side as often as every 90 minutes. Drinks are not included. However, we offer a souvenir bottle online. All-season dining, which we've talked about. So those are your three options for dining
packages. The all-day dining is like a good option.
Yeah.
It really is.
So can you get more than two meals with the all day dining?
That's what it just said.
It's every 90 minutes.
Every 90 minutes.
So apparently you just bring a lot of Ziploc bags.
Can't add that to your pass though. So that's not a pass holder option.
I don't know.
I don't know if I can eat
every 90 minutes.
Ziplocs.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Well, yeah, but
hot dogs reheat.
I mean, if you think about it, so say it's every 90 minutes. Say you have a family, right? So every
that we're advocating this.
Every 90 minutes, we would just have to maybe buy one for one person and eat.
We are advocating.
So you go with your two kids and it's you and John. So it's four people total. How many dining plans do you have?
Two.
You have two. So one
because
for you,
our
one
kids
for
don't go enough.
Gotcha.
And I know that sounds silly that we're not taking our kids constantly to a theme park, but we go as a family when they do pass holder early entry so we could get through all the rides before it gets crowded because, you know, they have school. But then John and I have date night once a week, and it gets expensive to constantly go on dates, so Knott's is our go-to option. And so with the dining plan, you know, we're saving money.
So you're on a nice date with food and no kids.
And walking around under the stars, you know.
I had a lot of fun. Like, I don't think I went on very many rides when I went in December.
John does not recall the stars.
Yeah, I don't really remember that.
So yeah, it's fun, you know, especially if you're past, you can just go and not have to worry about getting on every single ride there, you know, making the most of it. So, okay. Well, anything else? Any final thoughts on the dining plan?
I highly recommend it.
All right. So again, this segment is called Dining Plan, but this was the first installment. We're probably going to do this about once a month. We'll give you our reviews of restaurants and eateries around the Southern California theme parks. So thank you very much, Brandy. And I think that's going to do it for today. We had an extended edition. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us as we were gone throughout the month of February. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, thevacationlandpodcast.com, Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram @VLPodcast, and you can always email us vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. As always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on this episode. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, Karen. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoyed your stay in vacation.